Welcome to the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Joe Masato, joined by Barry Trammell, here to recap the Thunder's 137-101 loss to the Utah Jazz on Wednesday night in Salt Lake City. Barry and I have traded places for the day. I'm at home in Oklahoma City. Barry is on the road in Salt Lake. We'll get to that, I guess, to the reasons why in just a little bit. But Barry, just to start out, what was the experience like tonight? What's it like to be on the road and following the G League Blue turned Thunder?
Well, that's two different things.
Being on the road is good. How was the game?
And here's how the game went. Jalen Horde has played, I think tonight was his 37th NBA game. He was in the upper half of the Thunder's experience level. Of course, they got three guys that just joined the team yesterday. One had played at Orlando, but
He's also in the upper half of competence level.
Yeah, we've reached the point. You know, here's the truth. I don't want to be too mean, but you know, if you watch a team long enough, you know, you see all the players' warts and flaws, but you also see a lot of promise and, you know, some good stuff. Like Olivier Sarr got waived today. I saw some things out of Olivier Sarr. He's a 6'11" center who can make a three-pointer. There's something to be said for that. With that said, I'm hard-pressed to see Melvin Frazier Jr., Xavier Simpson, and GK, we're going to call him.
That's what Mark Degnall called him, so we're allowed to call him that.
As NBA players. I didn't see it. Frazier had some energy. Now, Simpson had 11 assists tonight, which I don't know how that happened. I'm not sure that it did happen. But he's not very good at all. I mean, he can't play much, I don't think.
But the hook shot is glorious.
The hook shot is fun. It's like a, you know, it's like a carnival show.
It's like very gimmicky.
Yeah, it's like a, I don't know what it's sort of a, I don't know what it is, but it was fun. But yeah, so the Thunder is out of prospects. Let's put it that way. Which, when you get into the 20s, you know, they're literally playing their D team. They had three or four guys tonight that would not be on the three deep of the depth chart.
They're playing like the guys who had not yet up to this point been called up from the blue, like the guys who are up now: Simpson, GK, Melvin Frazier. Those are the guys after, you know, Sarr, Krejci, Waters, who haven't gotten the call up. So it's
I'm looking at this now. Is Isaiah Roby the only guy that played tonight who's played in more than 50 NBA games? I think he is. I know he is.
Yeah, he's got to be.
Maybe 40. Mike could go down to 40.
I mean, second would be either Horde or Frazier.
It's 30 and 37 for those two guys.
I guess Krejci has played.
Has he played in 37 games this season?
I don't believe so, but it's close.
And Lindy is what? Lindy's in the 20s?
Vete Krejci has played 27.
27. Well, there you go. What's JRE probably? He's missed.
He missed 2 months.
Oh, he might be in the 40s. He might have played half the games. I don't know.
Let's see here.
But
Jeremiah Robinson Earl has played in, 48 games.
48, all right. Well, there you go. That's the –
yeah.
He's second. I mean, it was – and then we trailed 55-53 late in the second quarter. Darndest thing.
Yeah. I also don't want to be too mean because, like, in all seriousness, like, I had so much fun talking to Xavier Simpson at the game last night, and I put this in the story – but before I talk to him, he sees Chauncey Billups in the hallway, stops Chauncey Billups, who's the head coach of the opposing team, and takes a picture with him. Because for him, it's cool that he runs into Chauncey Billups, and he makes his first NBA start He's played in what, 100 minutes basically over the last in the last 48 hours. So, you know, lost in sort of the ugliness. I agree with the tanking. We'll get to that, but it's still not easy to watch. But lost in that is like guys like Horde, guys like GK, Xavier Simpson. Like, they're getting a really cool opportunity, and they're going to get to tell their kids and family that they played in an NBA game and multiple NBA games, which is really cool.
You know, heck, for all I know, you know, in 15 years from now, whoever is following along in your outstanding legacy of covering the Thunder will write a story about the Thunder reunion, and we'll do a story on Xavier Simpson, who played four games for the Thunder down the stretch of the 2021-22 season, the way you wrote about Stephen Hill. So,
yeah, Xavier Simpson's already, he's doubled the amount of games that Stephen Hill played in.
And I remember Stephen Hill just a little, not much. Stephen Hill's more of an NBA player than Xavier Simpson, I can tell you that. But, oh well.
Xavier Simpson, by the way, was on that 2017 Michigan team that we talked about all the time.
I saw that. That team refuses to die.
I feel like we talk about that team, you know, three or four times a year.
You cannot shoot that. You can't put that game out of its misery. I looked it up today. I thought there were already five Michigan players that had made the NBA. It's just four before today. Now Xavier Simpson makes five. They played eight in that game. So five of the eight have made the NBA, and now two of the OSU Cowboys have made the NBA. So that was a star-studded affair.
Yeah. Well, let's just quickly – I want to get to some more big-picture stuff, but in this game, Jalen Horde, 23 points, 5 rebounds. Barry fell well shy of his season rebounding rate after 20 rebound games in two of his last three. JRE had 18 points in 16 minutes off the bench. You mentioned Simpson had 11 assists. Anything you did see? It's so hard to judge because, like, none of this is transferable to really next year. I mean, maybe Roby will be back. Maybe Krejci will be back. Maybe Lindy Waters will be back. JRE, the rest, not so much. But anything you saw tonight that you want to talk about?
Well, you know, Lindy Waters is an interesting case. I mean, I've talked about how he's the only thing that's kept me sane the last month when it comes to the Thunder. I was out there watching him. You know, he didn't play last night. What did he play? 4.5 minutes, I think.
Yeah, 4 minutes.
Because Daigneault, Lindy came in, made two shots, and Lindy and Daigneault said, can't have that. He's got to sit. But he hit 3 3-pointers in a 48-second span tonight. Cut a deficit from whatever it was 11 down to 2, I think, in 48 seconds. And he has some bad misses, but he's got enough of a hot streak that I think he's going to get another chance going forward. I don't know if he'll make it, but I think he's going to get another chance. Mm-hmm. And when you look at on the floor tonight, you know, outside of Roby and JRE, I think he has the best chance to be an NBA player. So I thought that was impressive.
Is it a bad sign for Isaiah Roby that he's played in these last two games?
I don't think so. I think they realize they got to put somebody out there. I don't know why you'd play him instead of Poku if you're trying to lose.
Isn't it crazy we've gotten to the point where Poku, Maladone, and Aaron Wiggins are too good to tank?
Too good. Yeah, you got to get them off the court. They're hurting the lottery chances. I mean, it's just theater of the absurd.
Well, let's talk about that because
I mean they're out there trying to guard Bojan Bogdanovic. He had 9 foul shots in the first 5.5 minutes.
He's been a Thunder killer this season. There's no doubt about that. And the Jazz were missing, what, three starters?
Three
Conley,
starters.
Mitchell and Royce O'Neal.
Royce O'Neal, yep. So,
yeah.
I mean, this was so bad. Greg Monroe played 4.5 minutes tonight.
What a blast from the past.
Yeah, I don't know that he's played in 5 games all season. Yeah, it was – It was a mess. It was a total mess. My favorite part of the game, though, was every time Melvin Frazier or Xavier Simpson tried to shoot over Rudy Gobert or Hassan Whiteside, but particular Rudy Gobert. I mean,
Gobert had 20-10 on 9-of-9 shooting.
To be fair, Frazier got in, drove and got in, got a basket over or against Gobert. I don't know that he shut it over him, but they don't have Rudy Gobert's in the G League. That's the one thing I think we learned tonight.
Well, if I'm Xavier Simpson, I'm looking at Rudy and telling him, well, you don't have hook shot shooting 6-foot guards in the NBA, so watch this, Rudy. Try to block this. Is what I would tell them. These guys actually did their job tonight because the Thunder lost a game after being on a 2-game winning streak, and it was a much-needed victory for the Jazz, who, by all indications, seemed to be in a little bit of disarray. The perceived, who knows how real it is, Mitchell Gobert feud won't ever go away. There's a lot of rumors that Quinn Snyder's going to be gone.
That's the talk up here. It's big talk up here.
Yeah. What was it like being there? What'd you hear? What'd you see? What was the crowd like? Tell us about the environment in Salt Lake City tonight.
Very good crowd. You're talking about a Wednesday night, second of a back-to-back, and you're playing, the OKC Blue. And it looked like a Thunder crowd in the Durant-Westbrook heyday. I assume they called it a sellout. There were some empty seats. But for all I know, those empty seats were taken by people walking around the concourse because there was no block of empty seats. Mm-hmm. Four seats might be the biggest group you saw empty. It was not as exciting. It wasn't rip-roaring like in days of old for the Thunder. Of course, the Thunder gave them no reason for anybody to be excited. It's a great arena. I love the arena. It goes up. It's more of a Gallagher-Iba feel, I would say, in terms of everybody's right on top of each other. It's more vertical than Paycom Center. They do a nice job with some of their skits. I think the loudest the crowd got all night was in the fourth quarter. Chick-fil-A sponsors a promotion where if the opponent in the fourth quarter steps to the line shooting two and misses both foul shots, everybody gets a free something. I don't know what they get. Something free from Chick-fil-A. And Lindy Waters, of all people, stepped to the line, and people got all fired up and yelled, and he missed. And they go crazy. And they are yelling and screaming and trying to get him to miss the second shot. He swished it. A little while later, Jalen Horde, same thing. But
Thunder is missing an opportunity. They're like, there's a lot of teams who do that, and it's like the loudest moment of every game, basically, yes. And the Thunder doesn't do that. So they got to get on that.
I was told tonight they don't do it because they think it's poor sportsmanship. That strikes me as blatantly absurd. Poor sportsmanship. What are you talking about?
Oh, my gosh.
So I don't know what's going on.
They're going to yell anyway during opposing free throws. They might as well get a free chicken sandwich out of it if they're going to yell.
That's exactly. So poor sportsmanship. How about we get that guy with the mask to put his shirt back on? the guy that shakes his belly trying to get the free throw shooter's mind off his task.
Yeah.
Give us all a break here.
Poor sportsmanship. That's a good one.
But it was, it was fun. Quinn Snyder seemed a little bit on edge. Apparently he went off with a soliloquy last night in defense of the Gobert-Mitchell relationship, threw out some data that turns out was not accurate. He got roasted a little bit for it today. So he had a mea culpa today saying, whatever program they were running where he got stats didn't update or whatever. I don't know what's going on. Heck, seemed like too much drama for me. But but that's what they're doing. So there is a lot of talk that Quinn Snyder could be the next Laker coach. And he could also end up going to San Antonio if Popovich retires, which I don't know if he will or not. But it seems like Utah is sort of slipping away. They're going to be the fifth seed. Not too much optimism that they're going to get out of the first round. Let's see who they got in the first round now. Dallas?
Dallas as of now, yeah. It could either be Dallas or Golden State.
Yeah, they have trouble guarding on the perimeter.
Yeah, I would pick the Warriors or the Mavericks in that series.
Yeah, probably so. I love Mike Conley. I like Rudy Gobert. I got nothing. I like the Jazz. I'm pulling for the Jazz. If somebody came to me right now and said, you get to pick a legitimate champion of the NBA, and we can't pick, you know, the Xavier Simpson-led Thunder, who would you pick? I'd say I'd like to see the Jazz win an NBA title. But I don't think it's going to happen.
I'm surprised your answer is not the Memphis Grizzlies, which is my answer.
I think I'd take – Utah's a little more long-suffering. I mean, Utah's had some great teams and didn't win it. And just between you and me, I like Salt Lake better than Memphis. I actually sort of like Memphis, but I really like Salt Lake. And
you like Steven Adams better than Rudy Gobert, though.
I do like Stone Cold Steven Adams. Would you like to hear the tragedy? It's possible this is the tragedy of the spring, which is admittedly a short spring so far.
Yeah, so it might be.
I heard about the coolness and the opulence of the Thunder Hotel, the Great American. I think it's called the Great American Hotel, where they stay in Salt Lake City. So Trish the Dish and I walked in. We went by there. We were having lunch across the street, and we walked over there and walked through the hotel. Turns out the Grizzlies in town last night played Denver tomorrow night. They did not fly to Denver last night. They spent the night in Salt Lake City, got up, slept in, do all the things you do when you're an NBA player, and didn't leave until about 2 o'clock, which is about when we walked through the hotel. So we passed by, I'd say, 30 to 40 members of the Grizzly traveling party, including most of the players, coaching staff, all that. Here's the tragedy. There was no Stone Cold Steven Adams sighting. Did not steam Steven Adams. It was very sad. It was
that would have made the travel blog even better than
it would have been. It would have been a highlight of the. But let me give you another high. But there was a highlight. You know, my wife is with me on the trip. She actually went to the game tonight. Got a ticket, a solo, so she's sitting by herself. She made a fairly, you know, major mistake. She got confused on the time, looked at her computer, which does not update automatically with the time zone change. She looked at her computer. It said 6:17 or 6:10, something like that. I forgot what it said. But she said, ooh, I better get over to the stadium or to the arena. Well, it turns out it was only 5:17 at the time. So she gets to the arena more than an hour early. So she's got a lot of time to kill. Well, I had a little bit of time myself, so I went out and sat with her for a little bit in pregame. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of fans out. But when I walked up there, I saw a group of Thunder people, of Thunder fans, a couple of guys, young guys in their 20s, with their girlfriends and maybe somebody else, I don't know, wearing Thunder gear. They were sitting behind us, a row or two. And so I sat there talking to Trish the Dish for a few minutes, and then I get tapped on the shoulder. I turn around, it's this young kid, this kid wearing a vintage, he's wearing the turquoise Russell Westbrook, number zero uniform. He said, are you Barry Trammell? And I said, yes. He said, hey, I read you all the time. I just wanted to say hello. I said, oh, yeah, where are you from? He said, Twin Falls, Idaho.
I said, Twin Falls.
I said, how far is that? He said, it's about 2.5 hours, which, you know, it's not that far. You can go up there to I think it's on I-15. But anyway, he said, when I was a kid, I love Kevin Durant, just became a huge Thunder fan. Now I follow him. And, you know, this is the closest they come. So we drive down and watch the game. So I thought that was pretty cool. To me, it was a stark reminder of the following the Thunder has. Twin Falls, Idaho, let me promise you, not a bastion of NBA hotbed. It's not a place where they're sitting there discussing the salary cap and revenue sharing and those kinds of things.
Trying to wonder if the Thunder's going to get to the floor.
Yeah, this is not a place that where half the population subscribes to True Hoop blog. So
I need to see what Tankathon's traffic is from Twin Falls, Idaho.
So, but anyway, I thought that was pretty cool. Here's a dude from Twin Falls, Idaho, reads the Oklahoman online. So
yeah, that is really cool. That reminds me, when I was in Toronto earlier this year, I was wanting to do a story on all of the Shea Gilgeous Alexander and Lou Dort fans in Canada that follow the Thunder because of those guys. And I found a lot of, young kids who were exactly like that. But I also found as many or more people who are wearing Shea and Dort stuff who are not Thunder fans because, not new Thunder fans because those guys are Canadian. They started following the Thunder because of Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. And now it's just like a deal sweetener that they, picked up guys like Shea Gilgeous Alexander and Lou Dort. So you really do see the lasting effects of people followed those two guys, and now they still follow the Thunder because of it.
Yeah, so that was a cool moment. We chatted for a minute. We shot a picture. Shot a picture of the guy, so I'll put it on the travel blog. So
very nice.
Yeah, so that was cool. And then bad news: the game started, and but it was it was still fun. Because, you travel, you've seen all the arenas. I hadn't traveled in years except for the playoff games. So I'm trying to think of – I'm not sure I've been to any NBA regular season playoff game. I mean, a regular season game on the road.
Well, was the last game you traveled to before tonight when Dame Lillard waved goodbye?
Yes, I think it was. Had to be.
Yeah.
Had to be.
Yeah.
Had to be.
18, 19.
Yeah, 3 years ago. Maybe 2 weeks shy of 3 weeks. I mean, of 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Well, I thought tonight was, I know it's not easy to watch, but tonight was a little easier to stomach, I think, in general. And I don't want to get too deep into this, but I want to hear your thoughts, Barry. Last night, again, I totally understand tanking. I think it behooves the Thunder to lose these games down the stretch. I understand that you want to have the best lottery odds possible. I do not disagree with the strategy. With all that said, that doesn't mean it's like pleasant or, everyone's having a great time. Like, It was just like a little uneasy to be in the arena last night. And you've got seven guys play, one of which is Lindy Waters, who starts 2 of 3 from three and then is benched for the rest of the game after he does that. Then they play six guys, two of which have just been called up from the blue. And five of those six play 40-plus minutes. The other who didn't, Olivier Saar, who has since been waived, played 39 minutes. And I'm glad Yurgos is okay. He played tonight, but he goes down with an injury after playing like 43 minutes. And I'm not saying it's because of that, but like the whole scene was just, I was a little uneasy. I was like, this has gone to new depths. I just was wondering what you were thinking when you were watching that game.
It was very disconcerting. I actually, I didn't end up watching it until about 10:30 last night, Utah time. And the game was ruined for me, the outcome. Somebody spilled the beans on me, which hardly ever happens. It doesn't happen twice all season. But it happened last night, so I was watching with less interest than usual. And but I just kept sitting there in amazement. How could this happen? How could we reach a point in sports where your two teams are playing – You remember the old saying, you know, they're playing not to lose. Well, here was a game where they're playing to lose. And yeah. It was, you know, the Thunder, the Blazers out-tanked the Thunder last night. Youthful exuberance, I guess. So, but, yeah, it's. I'm glad the season's over, or getting over. Two games left.
Yeah.
I can't take much more of it as an observer of the Thunder. I just can't take much more of it.
Well, yeah, and like as a, you know, we're sports fans, we follow sports, it's our job to write about sports, and it's just, it's not real fun when it's like this. And again, that's fully knowing the situation and everything like that. So I'm also glad it's almost over. I just wonder, like, the Thunder has to go to such drastic depths now. You know, when we were joking about, oh, Mike Muscala is costing them a win, or Kenrich Williams, and we sort of like thought that was way overplayed. But this is now 2 years in a row where they've got a little off track, clearly, because they've gone to extreme measures too late in the season. And it's much harder to lose a game this late in the season when everyone's resting, when you have no idea who you might be playing, than it is to, you know, rack up one or two or three more losses in November, December. I know it might not matter. I know they might still win the lottery. Who cares? I'm tired of talking about the odds and the percentage chances and whatever. But it's like 2 years in a row where they've like gone all in on the tank, maybe a little bit too late.
Yeah, maybe. You know, I don't know. It's counterproductive to go all in on the tank early. If you did that, you know, is SGA and Luke Dort as far as down the line, down the road, as they are? Is Josh Giddey? At some point, you gotta let your players play.
No, I agree. So, I'm more so talking about like the Muscala. You just don't play him. I don't know. It's.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I would do that, but in hindsight now, seeing what it looks like now, I'm thinking about some of those games earlier in the season. But
yeah, you know, Kenrich Williams, Muscala, you know, some
Ty Jerome.
Sometimes it feels like Ty Jerome. It feels like James Harden.
We haven't talked about
it
Ty
feels
Jerome.
Like, feels like James Harden has played for the Thunder since Ty Jerome has. That's how long this season seems. Yeah. I just hope.
Gabriel Deck played for the Thunder this season.
Gabriel Deck. Now that was probably the big mistake. They should have kept Gabriel Deck and played him more. Played him 40 minutes a game.
Or Paul Watson.
Paul Watson. I forgot about. What happened to Paul Watson?
He just got waves for Lindy Waters. He was on a two-way deal.
Well, that was a good move. That probably hurt the lottery cause. But hopefully it's in the past. That's my hope. You know, I interrupted a Utah media discussion. Somebody on this team, I don't know, maybe it's Trent Forrest, maybe. They're talking about whether, I think he's on a two-way contract. They're talking about whether he should get a full contract or not. And somebody was talking about Lou Dort and how Lou Dort was two-way, and he got one. And they were debating whether Trent Forrest was better than Lou Dort. And I actually interrupted him and said, you know, Lou Dort scored 30 points in a game 7. So sometimes we even forget how good Lou Dort is because
yeah,
this last month.
I would not trade Lou Dort for Trent Forrest.
Or Forrest Lumber or Forrest Gump or anybody else. But for crying out loud, these guys, we've watched such bad basketball, we forget that there actually is some good basketball on the roster played. So I'm ready to get back to seeing it. That's what I'm ready for.
Yeah, I'm not convinced that – I think next year is going to be – I think they're going to be better just naturally as the young guys progress. I think a lot of what the plan is going to be – like, I could see them doing the same thing at the end of next year if this draft goes bad, or if they miss out on the lottery again and pick 6th and they don't find a Josh Giddey. Well, then it's really important for them to pick high in 2023. So I think a lot of next season and what happens depends on what happens on lottery night and how they feel about their draft pick. While we're on the topic of two-way guys, I heard you ask Mark Degnault about it. He said that Olivier Saar was waived because they planned on cycling through more of those guys, but then Robinson Earl got hurt. They needed a big man, so they kept Saar longer than they planned. The timing of it felt a little off just because Saar has really started to play well, so I felt a little bad for him. They bring in Melvin Frazier. But I don't know. Are you sad to see Olivier Saar go?
I would not have said yes 36 hours ago.
But then now you saw Melvin Frazier.
Then I saw Melvin Frazier and Simpson and GK. And GK. Yes, I'm sad to see him go. So
goodness.
The Thunder has literally shown me what, you know, remember the old D League? Well, they got D team. You know, when they started tanking earlier, they were playing the B teamers. That's when Dort sits. And then they started playing the last few weeks. They've been playing C teams, you know, where they got eight or nine of their best players sitting out. Dadgummit, tonight, I'll bet they didn't play. I'll bet if you rank the Thunder team, they got 20 guys on the roster, I think now. It's a D team. They were literally playing the fourth team.
I usually hate these discussions because I think they're obvious. Like when you compare, oh, could this college team beat a pro team? I actually do think it's open for discussion. If this team tonight is in the NCAA tournament, I don't know if they're the favorites. Maybe.
I think they'd have won it because it's not a great year.
Yeah.
This team would have gotten pulverized by the Baylor Bears of a year ago.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you, one of those Baylor Bears was out there playing Jared Butler. And he's not any good, but he was better than a lot of what we saw.
Yeah, Davion Mitchell.
Yeah, and Maceo Teague. And
isn't Mark Vidal playing for the Chiefs or something these
probably,
days?
Probably, yeah.
He could get out there and throw some guys around. But, yeah. All right, let's I'll just say two games left, both in L.A., the Clippers and the Lakers. The Lakers have nothing to play for. The Clippers, unless they just want to continue to get comfortable before the play-in, they don't have much to play for either because they're already locked into their play-in spot. They can't move up or down. They're in that eighth spot, so they'll play Minnesota in that first play-in game. You know what? If I had to guess, I would say the Thunder wins one of these remaining two just with the way things have gone, have no idea. We keep saying there's nothing more the Thunder can do to lose. I've continually been proven wrong because clearly there are things they could have done. And that's what we've seen in these last couple games. Barry, sorry we've run long. Before we wrap up, though, tell people why you are in Salt Lake City tonight and maybe what we should expect from your ventures out there.
Oh, well, yeah. Tomorrow I'm going to go down to Provo, never been, and go meet the BYU people. I'm going to do a project. I don't have a date for it yet, but a project on BYU's coming into the Big 12. And I'm going to meet with Kalani Kitake, the head coach, tomorrow, and whoever else they've got lined up for me. So
that'll be cool.
I just, you know, you're completely worn out. You're doing all the Thunder road games and most of the home games yourself. And this was a good opportunity to give you a break from at least one trip and also for me to tag along and do a BYU deal. So that's what I'll be doing. And then Saturday and Sunday, I think Trish the Dish and I are going to run around the state, at least this portion of it, and see the sights. Very scenic place. So yeah. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to
it. Yeah, I love it out there, and that's really cool. And Thank you for being there tonight because the worst trips to make, I mean, I have fun traveling, but the back-to-backs are hard to make because you can't, you know, team flies out. Last night, you got to get on an early flight. I'm not the best morning person in the world, so I'm glad to be heading straight to LA tomorrow instead of having already been in Salt Lake. So, Barry, thanks for covering it tonight. Good talking with you. And thank you all for listening to the Thunder Buddies podcast. And we'll be back with you this weekend to recap a couple of games in LA.